Good morning. It is good to be a Christian. It's good to be worshiping together on the first day of the week in spirit and in truth. For those of you who were not here this morning during Bible class, I'd like to just go ahead and express our thanks and our gratitude from the Jenkins family on behalf of your contribution, whether it be spiritually, financially, whatsoever. In any way whatsoever that you've given, we are thankful for that. We're also thankful to be able to be here with you this morning. And as we go into our lesson, I would like for you to go somewhere in your minds with me to a wasteland. I would like for you to visualize a deserted, desolate place, a place with nothing, a wasteful place with no growth, a place with no promise, a place with no hope. I'd like for you to think about that place. And a lot of times when you think about that place, many of us will get a picture in our minds of something similar to post-apocalyptic, something like we would see on television shows or what have you, something that we might read about in a book somewhere. I'd like for you to just picture this place as we go through our lesson this morning and understand that there is a proverbial wasteland that we as Christians are living amongst, a place that we call the world, a place that is carnally minded, a place that where one might think about things that are not pertaining to the spiritual life. We may see this as our workplace. We may see this as our home. Some of us may see this as the life that we grew up in, a proverbial wasteland. Many of us can understand and relate to what that might be. But spiritually speaking, the people, the Israelites, and in the account of Judges, Judges chapter 2, if we'll turn to Judges chapter 2, those people faced a wasteland, a proverbial wasteland, much like we face today. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." We see here the generation that rose up without the example to worship God. Instead, they turned aside to false gods. They turned aside to false hope. And they placed their hope and they placed their salvation in something that was not right, something that was false. Many people today place their faith in things that are going to inevitably land them in a wasteland, a proverbial wasteland. They will never grow. They'll never have that promise. They'll never have that hope that we as Christians have, but instead will search day in and day out. In Judges chapter 2, Joshua dies off. The older generation, they begin to die as well. People, if we do not do that is necessary as Christians to be the example that we need to be for the rising generations, whether that generation, I'm talking of spiritual generation, not necessarily our children, but those who we are examples to. Each one of us in here as Christians, whether you know it or not, have someone watching, someone looking, and I guarantee you if you live your life according to His will, you have someone who looks at you as an example. If we do not do that is necessary in our walks with Christ, and show them the way, they'll turn aside to believe otherwise. They'll turn aside to follow false doctrines. They'll turn aside to follow false ideas. And they'll inevitably end up in a wasteland. a place with no promise. The world that we live in has turned aside to false gods. And when I say this, I want you to understand that there are several things that I may mention today that have very good promise for being evangelistic tools, but are being used by Satan, that are being used by the evil of this world to influence minds, to influence evil in this world. There are being things used, as such as Facebook. And like I said, Facebook is a great tool. I'm being broadcasted live on Facebook as we speak. Facebook is something that is great as a tool for evangelism, but can also be very deadly in our spiritual lives if we allow it to be. If we get on there for the wrong purposes, purposes that are not pleasing to God, whether it be to get on there and argue or to covet what our brothers and sisters have or what our friends have, whether it be to get on there and look upon women as we cross or men as we cross through. There are avenues in this tool. Facebook is great, but in many ways can be deadly to the spiritual man, can be deadly to that inner man that we all have, that relationship that we have with God. Some of us may even binge watch Netflix. And my wife and I are guilty of having several shows that we like to follow on Netflix, but at times that can take away from our study if we let it. At times, things like Netflix or Facebook or social media of any kind can take away from the focus of God. At times, we may forget, and I'm talking to myself as well this morning, we may forget to put Him at the forefront. We may forget to pay attention to His Word like we should. There are things in this world, like I said, that have great, they have, you know, good uses, but can inevitably destroy the inner man. Satan has begun to influence the church as well. We see congregations of the Lord's church accepting false ideas, false ideologies. They're becoming more acceptable and compromising the truth, allowing instruments of music to come into the worship setting. They're allowing things to go on that are not pleasing to God and have not been authorized in Scripture for us to practice. They're allowing things to take place that are not pleasing to Him. When we get away from God's idea, as a spiritual people, we get away from God. When we move away from what His Word says, we're moving away from Him, and we have to be careful. We have to take each step that we take with caution, knowing that where we end up will not be that proverbial wasteland, but will be the promised land in which God has laid out in His Word and promised to those of us who follow Him. We see, like the scripture reading this morning, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 5, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, ears that want to hear something. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what I need to hear, but tell me something that makes me feel good. Tell me something that makes me want to come back. Instead of growing and grooming our relationship with God, many of us in the Lord's church have began to just accept and turn aside to these false ideas. Many of those people, many people have decided to turn aside to false ways and not to follow Him. The people of Judges 2, those Israelites, they began worshiping Baal after the previous generation died off. I said it before, but I'll say it one more time. We need to be the examples to these up and coming generations. We need the generation that's coming, that spiritual generation that's rising up, needs to know the importance of staying faithful to God, needs to know the importance of sound doctrine, not just picking up the Bible and reading it and taking from it what you want to hear, but what did God intend for you to follow? The words that God intends for us to obey are what need to be taught, not what make us feel good. Many people preach that makes them feel good, but that doesn't get you to the promised land. It doesn't. The generation before them did not stress the importance of God being worshipped. Somehow, some way, that got lost in translation along the way, and they began to worship other gods. These people became complacent in their spirituality and turned aside, and then the younger generation turned aside. If we become complacent, we have got to remain faithful, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, let this younger generation, let this rising generation understand the importance of true worship, the importance of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and not just coming together because it's something to do on Sunday, but coming together because it's something that has been commanded in His Word. But worshiping Him daily, by living for Him on a daily basis, the way He has laid out in His Word, because it's something He told us to do, not because it's just a choice that we want to make, oh, well, today I'm going to do better. That's a good thing. It's a good idea to have. Today I'm going to be better than the day I was than I was yesterday. But you know what? That in and of itself can fail. But if we look to something and understand that this is a rule in His book, His Bible, His Word has told us and laid out rules for us to follow, if we hold ourselves to this standard, aside from our own standards, we'll get where we need to go. In Judges 17:6, it states that the people, that there was no king in Israel, and the people did that which was right in their own eyes. We cannot do that which is right in our eyes and end up where we need to be. We have got to do that which is right in God's eyes. There are many signs to a perverse generation. This morning I'd like to discuss some of those signs. A generation, a proverbial wasteland, is a place without authority. When we take authority out of the picture, without authority, we have no God to look to. When there is no authority, there is no God. But we know as Christians, God is real, He is alive, and He is our authority, given to us in Scripture. Without God, we have no salvation. When we have no salvation, there's no hope. So Jesus left us with this confidence that we have authority in Him, and in Him is the authority given. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it states, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Then, in the verses following, left us with a challenge. Verses 19 and 20 state, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We cannot fall complacent to not having God being the authoritative figure of our life. If we allow ourselves to become spiritually complacent and lose sight of the big picture, then God does not have the power that His Word declares in our life. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God wants us to know by looking at His Word that in Him we find authority. We have something to follow. We have something to look to. But also in a wasteland, in a proverbial wasteland, we see that there's not only no authority, but there's no law. The people would not hearken unto the judges and went after other gods. Look in Judges chapter 2, verse 17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. They went after other gods. They went after other things to find their comfort. Instead of turning to God, they turned aside to false gods. How many of us today can look around and look around in this world and see people who find their comfort in other things? They may find their comfort in a bottle. They may find their comfort in a pack of cigarettes. They may find their comfort in things that are not what God has told us to find our comfort in. But instead, they make excuses and they make these false promises to themselves that, well, this is helping me. It's medicating the problem. It's going to solve my issue. I have to mask my issue with this substance. And those are two things that I mentioned that are viewed publicly as legal and acceptable. But to God, they are not. To God, they are viewed as something that is... Where does He tell us to find our comfort? Where does He tell us to find our hope and our peace, our salvation, our authority, our law? In Him. In Him alone. Our comfort doesn't come from those things. But we see a world who have accepted the idea that this will medicate me for the time being. This will help me through this situation. When ultimately what they need to do is look into God's Word and see the truth that abides there. The answer to their problems that abide there. Their strength that they can draw from His Word. When I think of, in terms of no law, I can't help but think of my son. He is constantly, when he sees a man in uniform, a police officer or a firefighter or EMT, security guard, anything, he wants to go up to them and thank them. He wants to shake their hand. We taught them at a young age to respect it, and we did it once or twice, but now every time there's a man in uniform, he has to go out of his way and say, thank you for saving us from the bad guys. Thank you for keeping us safe. Things of that nature. He says those things to these people because he recognizes that without them, we wouldn't have a confidence and a comfort, knowing that they're there. I know that I'm taken care of. When I see the police, as long as I'm not the bad guy, I know that I'm all right. But see, we need to understand that it is in Him where our law is found. And yet, these people in the account of Judges chapter 2, they would not hearken unto their judges. They wouldn't listen to them. They turned aside. And they did what they wanted to do instead of what was commanded of them to do. Without the law, we have no judgment. I mentioned earlier Judges 17:6. There was no king in Israel, and the people did that which was right in their own eyes. When we don't have a judge, we have nothing, we have no standard to live by, to govern our lives by, to govern our actions by. I'm thankful for a law, and I'm thankful for judges, and I'm thankful for this Bible, this Word of God that shows me and helps me measure up where I need. It is absolutely, it's my measuring rod. It helps me see where I am in my relationship with God. It helps us all see. It gives us confidence in knowing that we are saved. When we have obeyed His Word, we can go back and we obey the gospel. We can look at those verses that gave us comfort at one time, that we obeyed, that we did, we heard, we believed, we repented, we confessed, and we were baptized. And each one of these verses gives us comfort in knowing that we've obeyed that God has commanded. This is the importance of the law. His Word should guide us and give us direction. So a place, a proverbial wasteland, a perverse generation, are a people with no direction. They are a people who are lost. When Heather and I moved to Memphis, we were on our way, and Heather was in the van, and I was in the U-Haul behind her. I had our whole house in the U-Haul, and I didn't have a cell phone at the time, so there was no GPS. The only thing I had was Heather, and I was following her, and I said, if you're going to make a turn, please make it in plenty of time. Well, there was a turn that came up in Decatur, Alabama that got us both off guard. When that took place, I didn't have a phone to call her. I didn't say, hey, where you at? Pull over and I'll come back and get you. I didn't have a GPS to get me back to Memphis. What I had to do was go on down to the next exit, and that next exit happened to be 10 miles down the road. And then when I turned left off the exit toward the gas station, it was 7 miles in that direction. So here we are, Heather's I don't know where, and I'm way over here, and we're separated, and we're lost. And that feeling that I had for that split second, we live in a world, we're blessed to know and have a connection with those who we love. At any time, if I'm separated from Heather, I can pick up my phone and send a simple text or send a phone call or make a phone call, and just like that, I'm connected. I can be across the entire world. I can be on the other side of the world and talk to someone in China. We live in a world where we are blessed to have that connection. So feeling unconnected for that small amount of time, I had an understanding and a fear that I had not had in a long time, because we become complacent. We just get used to the idea of having the technology to get us where we need to go. At that moment, I didn't have it. So I had to do what I had to do, and we finally made it back together. But the feeling of being lost, the feeling of not knowing which way to turn, not knowing which way to go, terrified me. There are people in this world who have no direction, who are searching for it, the need to know which way to turn, but without our example and without our dedication to this word, they will not. If they don't see us living it, if they don't see us, if they don't have us there to ask a question, if we cut ourselves away off from answering questions that pertain to spiritual things to those people who are around us that we may work with or family who do not know Christ, those people will die and go to a real place called hell because of the decisions that we made not to tell them the truth. It is up to us to make the right decision. In the church, that guideline that we have, that we follow, is the Bible. Psalms 119:105 states that His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That verse gives me comfort and has for years, because I know that whenever I need to know which direction to turn, I can look at the word of God and have confidence. I can look at the word of God and know I'll find my answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we have a person who is lost, if we are ever in a lost state ourselves or know people who are in a lost state, having no direction, where do we put them? Where do we point them toward? Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only by Christ. We discussed this morning the importance of how everything in the Bible points to Him and points at Him, professes Christ. Our lives should do so also. In our life as Christians, we are to be a light to this world. So if we're going to be that light, we have got to shine the way, the direction. We've got to shine Christ in our lives so that others can find Him. People who have no direction, they're in danger. Like I said, I had that fear whenever I was separated from Heather for that moment. I was really scared. I didn't know what to do, because not necessarily scared for me, but I was terrified for her. And also, I had my whole house. Heather was going to Memphis without the house. You know, so there were a lot of things that were going on, but they're in danger. People who are lost with no direction are in danger. And the place spiritually, the spiritual danger that they have is the fact that they face hell. They face a place without God. They face a place of eternal torment. It's our place as Christians to make sure that they get where they need to go. It's our place as Christians to do all in our power to shine that light and to share that light with them. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many people have accepted the route that they're on as one that's going to take them where they need to go. But those people sadly are going to wake up one morning and realize, they're going to stand before God and realize that the route that they took, or that they thought was going to get them where they needed to go, is not the route that is laid out in His Word. It's not the way that is laid out in God's Word. Someone who is lost will never find paradise. You know, we discussed the wasteland, but there is a place called the Promised Land that the Israelites had a promise of, that God would take them to it. And He did. But to get to that Promised Land, we as Christians must remain in the church. We must follow after the truth and worship Him in spirit and in truth. God gives purpose to those who hope in Him. We need to understand that without God in our lives and without God, there's no hope. So a proverbial wasteland is a hopeless state, a hopeless place, a place with no promise. But you know, I look at Jeremiah, and in the book Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, verse 11, God tells Jeremiah there that He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward him. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's safe to say this morning that the thoughts that God had toward Jeremiah are the same thoughts He has toward you and His people, God's people. He wants us to have hope in Him, an expected end, a hopeful end. But without direction and without hope, we will not reach that place that has been promised. God gives strength, though. He gives strength to those who trust in Him and have hope. So when we get weak and when we start to feel like we're, you know, at the end of our rope, we can always turn in our Bibles to Psalm 31:24. Psalm 31:24 states, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. It's good to know this morning that I have hope that is found in Christ. I have a hope of an eternal home with Him, and not a place, not a wasteland, but a promised land. Hope brings about peace as well. God gives access to those. The peace that I have is the fact that we have access. We discussed this morning that not only did He give us remission of our sins, but through Him we also have access to an eternal life with Him. Not eternal death, but eternal life. A place with Him in paradise, in heaven, inevitably. If we look to Him, we will find rest. Romans 5:2 states, by whom also we have access by faith into grace, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And our relationship with the Father, when we have a relationship with God, it is priceless. I know Heather and I, we were saved in 2016, and since then, there's one direction, and that's the only direction is God's direction. Since, you know, I'm 32, so I lived 30 years of my life outside of the truth. Many of you have been blessed to grow up in the truth. Many of you have been blessed to grow up in the church, and that is an amazing blessing. Not knowing every night when I went to sleep, not having the peace that I was okay, that I had done what I needed to do, that I was being raised and reared in the right direction. I was terrified. Spiritually, the thought of hell never left my mind until I obeyed the gospel. The thoughts of hell never left my mind, but now I have confidence in His word that I have obeyed His truth and will one day be with Him. We have a hope that's found in Jesus, and that hope is eternal life. It is an eternal residence with Him. We will abide with our Savior. How awesome is that? Relationship, like I said, with the Father is priceless. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We can know that once we have done that is necessary, we have a hope. You see, but we have to be obedient. Obedience is the key that opens the door, but hope is what lies beyond that open door. We have to make sure that we are obedient, because that's what we have to have, the obedience to open the door. But when we walk through that door, that's when we have the hope. It wasn't before I had obeyed the gospel that I had the peace that I have now. It wasn't before I had obeyed. So those people who are lost, those people in our lives that we know have no direction, have no law, have no authority, who are living in a proverbial wasteland, the key to their happiness is obedience, obeying the gospel. I've never been happier, I know, and if you all could say it, I'm sure you would say the same thing. You've never had more comfort and more peace than you do now, knowing you're where you need to be. But see, we have that peace and we have that comfort because we have salvation. A proverbial wasteland has no salvation. They have no promise. And ultimately, those who are headed to a proverbial wasteland, they have no chance of heaven. They've missed out completely. They've missed the mark. Revelations 22:12 states, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be." See, to miss heaven, my reward is with me. We have to be in Him to receive the reward. And to miss Him is to miss heaven. And to miss heaven and Christ is to miss the entire picture. Having that peace, though, not having peace. With no salvation, we have no peace. So those people who are lost in that state, they can't find their way out. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ, through Christ Jesus." But the peace of God that is speaking of in right here is those people who have the peace of God. And the only way we can possess it is if we possess salvation, if we have obeyed the gospel. The only way we have peace is if we are in Christ. Like I stated before, the thought of hell never left my mind. For 30 years, I was terrified and knew, because I grew up zealous in denomination. I grew up believing in God and having a zeal for God. But I never stopped thinking about hell. Now, I knew when I had obeyed the gospel the reason for that. And that is because without Christ and without becoming a part of His church, I had no promise. I had no peace. And I had no salvation. We've got to obey the truth, not something that's false, not something that is going to pass away, but the truth. Looking elsewhere for peace is not going to get you far. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's Colossians 3:15. We can be thankful this morning that we've obeyed the gospel. We can be thankful for those of us who are Christians, who are in here today. We can be thankful. We can have that peace and that confidence to know that we've done that that's necessary. And that what awaits us is a promised land and not a wasteland. A promised land, a place that we can be with our Savior. But to those of you who are here today who listen to this word and have related to many of the things that I was talking about, my life has no authority, my life has no law, my life has no peace, I have no salvation. There is a promise that is given to us in His word, and that is that if we hear His word and we believe that word that we've heard, Romans 10:17 and John 3:16, that once we repent of the lifestyle that we were living, Acts 17:30, and put Him and confess Him as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, then we can be added to His church and be forever with Him in that promised land as long as we live faithfully unto death, Acts 2:38 and Revelation 2:10. There is a way that we can be with Him, and that way is by obeying the word that has been laid out in the Bible. This has been given to us, and it is complete. There's no reason to doubt the word of God, and that is where every answer to life's questions are found, is in His word. So if you're here this morning and you need to respond to this invitation, then I beg you, as they come with a song, that you will obey the word, that you will do what God has commanded in His word. If you're here this morning and you're a member of the church and you need prayer, you maybe something in this message spoke to you and you've been living a lot of the areas of your life and right, but something in this message spoke to you and you need to make things right, then come and have the elders pray for you and be restored this morning to walk out of those doors different than you came in. There is a promise and there's a promised land. Please do what's necessary to partake in that promise. Please come as together we stand and as we sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.